When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Everybody, it's Hour 2 of the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Ryan McGee, sitting in for Paul, and I got this studio cooled off, man. We're ready to go. Woo! Give us a call, 855-242-7285. That's Paul, P-A-U-L, not P-A-W-L. Call Paul. I like that song, by the way. Man, we've got it is a cavalcade of collegiate sports knowledge rolling through this thing for the next 3 hours. Andrew Adelson, my work sister, going to join us in about 15 minutes. She was out in lovely Boulder, Colorado on a non-lovely day. Where about 30,000 people showed up for primetime second spring game as head football coach. Matt Brown of Extra Points is going to join us. Has the inside scoop on the cover people on EA Sports. And then, of course, we will be joined by Amanda Krstovich, who is going to explain to us why Reggie Bush is still suing the NCAA, even though he got his Heisman back. Quick reminder, NCAA and the Heisman Trust are two different things. Also, the NCAA, the College Football Playoff, two different things. People don't ever understand that. And by the way, I want to say something real quick. So there's a video clip they always show top of the hour on TV. It's that amazing collage, and it's Call Paul and all that. The deal where they brought Paul in the coffin in Knoxville. Memory serves, that was the Alabama game, the great Tennessee upset of Alabama 2 years ago. And they brought Paul up in that coffin, the pallbearers and all that stuff. Listen, there's a lot of things I will do and a lot of things I have done for the sake of television and y'all's entertainment. I'm not a claustrophobic person. I always wanted to be an astronaut because I thought I could be in a capsule. I could do that. I wouldn't get in that coffin. Ain't no damn way. Nope. Nope. No thank you. Horror movies don't bother me, none of that, but there ain't no way I'm getting in that coffin. I'm not going to have a coffin when I'm gone. They're going to send out my organs and put me in the bowl. There was no way I'd get in that coffin. Paul did it. And then we could hear him when they put him in the thing. And so we done Marty McGee as NASCAR, NASCAR Nation. No, it's SEC Nation. I used to work on a show called NASCAR Nation. But, yeah, we could all hear Paul in our ears because he had a microphone on. Paul, you okay? Yeah. I'm fine. And he's just in that coffin. I'm like, ain't no way. Ain't no way. Will's on the line. Will, welcome into the Feinbaum Show.
McGee, I can already tell you who's going to be on the cover of the football game. It's going to be Jim from Tuscaloosa.
Oh, God. Because Jim has got like a tricked out. He's got like a PS5 and like a gaming chair. You know he's got all that stuff, right? Can you imagine Jim with like the VR headset on? No.
No, I don't want to. McGee, are you – I live maybe 10 minutes down 421 toward Winston. You going to the Wilkesboro race again this year?
I'm planning on it. Last year was as much fun as I had a racetrack in a long time. For folks that don't know, the North Wilkesboro Speedway sat there empty for decades, and they resurrected it, and they ran the NASCAR All-Star race there, and they're going to do it again this year. And, dude, I'm telling you, the race wasn't that great, and it didn't matter. As much fun as I've ever had at the racetrack that weekend.
Who's your favorite racer still racing now? Don't say all of them. Give me a racer who's your favorite racer now? Everybody's gone now.
No, that's a good question. I mean, listen, I like Martin Truex Jr. just because I've covered his whole career. You know, his career was up on blocks, dude. He was done. And for him to come back and do what he's done – But it's hard to beat. I mean, you know, so I'm at that age now, dude, where I have known these guys. Like, I remember the day Chase Elliott was born. right? I really do. I remember the press release going out. I remember the first time I saw him at Daytona, he was just a couple months old, and his dad was carrying him on his hip, and now, you know, he's a champ. So it's hard to beat those old school guys. But no, I like Truex. I think he's blue collar, man. His dad was the Clam King of New Jersey. He was. That was his title. So yeah. So I like those guys that were still racing when I was out there like full time back in the day. So I'm running out of those guys. So I'll go with Truex.
Yeah. You can count them on one hand now. But last thing before I go, when I was growing up, cartoons on Saturday morning were great. But now I'm getting older. Before I run out the door on Saturday, to work or whatever, I love to catch an hour or so of you and your show. I mean, y'all show on Saturday morning is one of the best shows on TV. All right, bud.
Hey,
keep it up.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, well, Marty and I say it all the time. If you grew up watching cartoons on Saturday morning and now you watch Marty McGee, we're kind of like a cartoon. Yeah.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Will, you're the man. Jim from Tuscaloosa is on the line. Jim, how you doing?
You know why, McGee or Magoo? I'm going to call you Magoo again because, you earned it. You earned it. What'd you say to that moron?
That was just a joke. Jim, how old are you?
No.
It does matter because it was just a joke about the fact that he said you should be on the cover of the new EA Sports video game.
What'd you say, Ron?
I said, can you imagine? I said, you think Jim's got a PlayStation 5 with all the tricked out virtual reality?
No, I don't have any of that crap.
Right.
No, I don't. And let me add what I want to add. I'm going to tell you, I'm a critical guy that needs to be constructive criticism. Feinbaum knows that. Everybody that's ever heard me knows that. Here's constructive criticism for you, Ron. South Carolina, what's his name? Chris from South Carolina. Great caller. He added this to you the other day, and he's right, and I said it. You talk too much. You talk about insignificant trivia. You holler and scream. You ain't going nowhere doing that crap. Show a little sophistication. I mean, act like they used to say about Alabama football players handing the referee the ball. Act like you've been there before, Ryan. You act like you've never been on stage, ever.
Hey, Ren, grab it up. Grab that pot right there.
Yeah, grab the pot for Ryan.
Grab Ryan. I'm gonna give y'all a visual illustration of what we got going on here. This is the pot calling the kettle black.
No, Ryan.
Jim just called here and said I talk too much.
I'm the biggest icon this show ever had. You're just a moron, a dadgum moron.
That's right. So the point is that he said he doesn't have the video games. He don't play with that crap. That's the point, Jim. It was factual. Pot? That's actually an urn, isn't it? I was talking about earlier about urns. We had a hillbilly headline on. I'm just going to keep talking now. I'm just going to keep talking because Jim enjoys it so much. But on hillbilly headlines, we had a story about a guy got his car stolen, had his mama's ashes in it. 6 years, he kept his mama's ashes in a coffee mug in the holder, and the thief brought it back because he felt bad about the ashes. You know that thief opened up that coffee mug and went, "Oh damn, that's that guy's. That's it. Didn't smell like Winston Reds. This must be his mama." Pot. That's all I got. I don't actually have a pot or a kettle. That's a kettle, I guess. It's close to it. But that's an urn. Why does Paul have two urns over here?
Grandma.
Swamp Dog. Woo! Welcome into Fine Ball.
Hello. I'm sorry to have to follow that guy right there, but that's just the way things work out sometimes.
Yeah, well, he's still talking probably.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I want to tell you, though, I'm a big fan of yours, and I knew you way before I knew who Marty was. I don't know how that happened. Marty Smith, I like him, but I know who you were a long time before then.
Well, thank you.
I've seen you on TV, and, good stuff. And I wanted to ask you about some music, but I'm going to put that on hold for a minute. I like the Allman Brothers, and I was going to ask you about them. I know you like music too, but I did want to ask you about what the Falcons did. If you had to put a GM hat on your head, and would you spend $189 million for a quarterback and then 6 weeks later pick their first pick in the draft for another quarterback? Is that kind of weird, or is it just me?
No, it's weird. I totally agree that it's weird. I don't think I would have done it. But what I was saying earlier was I don't – if you Kirk Cousins, who did not complain, by the way, his agent did, and then Kirk Cousins actually called Penix that night. But if you're Kirk Cousins, you're getting $100 million. So I don't feel that bad for you. You know, it's kind of like the owner of the Panthers here in town getting his feelings hurt where we live in Charlotte because somebody criticized him. He's worth $21 billion. It's fine, dude. Just calm down. But I just – the point is I wouldn't have done it, but I get it. I mean, I totally get it. You know, Kirk Cousins is in his mid-30s, and he's injury-prone.
Yeah.
He's coming off the ACL deal. So, I mean, I get what they were doing, but it just was – say it was odd would be accurate.
It was odd. Yeah, odd. Put it that way. Yeah, odd. Can I ask you my music question for a second
Sure.
here? You like the Allman Brothers?
You probably do.
Southern guy. I know you what happened. You know what happened to Dwayne Allman, right?
Yes.
He's killed, right? They did an album called Eat a Peach. And after that, and that sounded kind of I don't know, morbid in a way to me. I'd like to hear I-Man's response to that because I know I-Man is into all this stuff, the music. I love music. You love music. Paul loves music. We like to talk about music much as we do sports, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of a – are you familiar with that title of that album, Eat a Peach? And
oh, yeah.
You know what happens to Dwayne Allman?
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting here with Randy, the guitar player, right now. We probably talked about this before, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of odd. I'd like to get I-Man's response from it. I've tried to get I-Man to respond to music a bunch on this show, and he will never do it unless he chooses to. He won't never say anything about what I said about anything. But I just think that's interesting, and I'm not trying to be morbid or anything here, but odd.
Yeah, it is odd. I appreciate that. Yeah, no, it is odd. Yeah, man, if you're listening, Swamp Dog wants to hear what you have to say about Eat a Peach.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to hear.
All right, we'll put it out there. We'll see what happens, buddy. Chris in South Carolina is on the line. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Marty, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
You doing all? Hey, man, Jim just came in and chokeslammed you. I'm finna come off the rock, top rope, and drop a suplex on you. You talk too much, McGee. McGee, you haven't learned from last time? Quit talking so much, man. Get these calls through here, man. And then you rush the calls off the phone when they do get on here because you want to talk more. Quit talking so much, McGee. And another thing, you know the thing about Alabama at the corner store? Can you still get hunting license down there at the corner store? Because I'm trying to get me some squirrel ice because squirrel season is in full effect. But I don't know to get the regular salty nuts or the cheese nuts because he's a rat too. So, squirrel, I'm coming for you. You have a nice day, McGee. And quit talking so much.
Have a nice day. Stop talking so much. It's like being back with my old college girlfriend. Andrew Adelson's going to call us coming up next. Hell, she might talk too much. I might not let her talk at all. I'm going to hang up on her because I got to talk some more. It's my mom.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back at 420, Randy. 420. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul. And it's been an action-packed hour and 20 minutes, and we're just going to keep that rolling on ESPN.com right now. A story written by literally, genuinely one of my favorite people on planet Earth, Andrew Adelson, the legend. Can Deion Sanders find success in his second year with Colorado? AA sat in the rain in lovely Boulder. First of all, how was the trip? Was it as miserable as it looked? And what was the atmosphere like in the stadium?
Well, Friday was great. It was sunny. I had a great view of the stadium from inside as I was looking around. Beautiful mountains, you know, very different from where I live in Florida. And then the rains came that night. And so as I pulled into the stadium, I knew that I was going to want to be talking to fans. And of course, the big question was, are they going to get the same sellout crowd that they had last year? Remember, 47,000 people showed up in a snowstorm to get their first glimpse of Coach Prime. They didn't have 47,000 people, but they did have 27,000 people who showed up, which I feel like I would consider a win because I was completely miserable, drenched through two raincoats, not just one, but two. So the fact that 27,000 people did that so they could see their second spring with Coach Prime, I actually talked to three students who drove from their high school in Aurora, Colorado, because they wanted to go to the Lil Wayne concert, but they also wanted to get their first glimpse themselves of Deion. They didn't go to the spring game last year. So they came with their coolers. They pulled in at 3 a.m. thinking there was going to be this giant, huge tailgate. And they were the first ones to arrive. They go to IHOP. They come back. They're standing in the rain. But they were excited. And the enthusiasm among the folks who were there, it's still there. I think a lot of people are wondering, well, what is year two going to be like for Deion? And even though the crowd wasn't this huge sellout, I think the fact that they had that many people sitting in a steady downpour for 2 hours says something about the excitement that continues to build around this program.
Yeah, and listen, I understand we're on the SEC network right now, and so a lot of people think that every spring game gets 80,000 people. It's not that way really anywhere. I've covered at least two Colorado games when there wasn't anywhere close to 27,000 people there for like a Saturday night. So I believe they'll take that. All right, so I went there last year when they were rolling, and I joked I was the last person at ESPN that hadn't been to Boulder last fall. Now you were the last one to get there. But the reality is that the buzz still was there even after they suffered their first loss, and it was a crushing. I mean, it just got rolled. But I don't know him that well. I've been around him some over the years. Deion Sanders looked like he was having such a good time, even after a loss, and he looked so comfortable. And part of that was the fact that he told me, he goes, I'm a dad and all my family is here on campus. Well, the family's kind of scattered. Does it still get that same feeling of him wanting to be on that campus and be a part of that program, or are some people trying to speculate he's trying to leave AA?
Well, it's a question that he was asked at his press conference, and I'm just going to editorialize for a second here because I had never met Deion Sanders either, heard a lot about him. Obviously, here in Florida, I grew up watching him play at Florida State, have talked to Mickey Andrews, his defensive coordinator at Florida State, and know what type of a player, a person, a coach that people describe him as. But this was my first time actually being in a room with him as he was giving his press conference. And he was laid back. He was comfortable. He was jovial. He had his one-liners that I think we all expect him to have, had the sunglasses on, had the cowboy hat on, looked comfortable in the rain, even though it was pouring down during the game. He's got Shador, his son, is coming back as the quarterback, looked really good in the three series that he played. But because there are questions now about the future. This is the last year for Shadur. His son Shiloh plays on defense. It's going to be his last collegiate season as well. A lot of people are wondering, well, what does that mean for Deion? Is he going to want to be in Colorado long term? To the point where a local reporter did ask Deion that, and he said, I have no plans to follow my sons to the NFL. I was trying to remember the one-liner that he said. He was asked, what do you tell the parents of recruits in the class of 25 and 26 that are coming on their visits about your long-term future? And he said, well, I tell them the truth. I'm a daddy. I'm not a baby daddy. And I don't need to follow my kids wherever they go. And so that's what he says now. But of course, you know, you have to parse the words here. I do not plan, right? Well, today he does not plan. Well, what's the plan going to be in December, January, etc.? Who knows? But at least for right now, Deion said, I have work to do here. Like, I want to deliver a winning program to the people of Colorado. He talked about how much he loves the area, about how he likes the mountains, how he never thought a kid from the South would love it there in Boulder, but he genuinely does. He said he and Warren Sapp, who's now on his staff, by the way, were trading stories about going up to the mountains and seeing snow. So he says he loves it there, and he feels confident being there. Now, what that means for the long-term future, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
How about that hurricane and a Seminole living in the mountains? That's not exactly probably what I do. And they had a gator there covering it. Andrea Adelson joining us from ESPN.com to talk about her trip out to Boulder, Colorado. All right, so now the question is, listen, that team overachieved last year. I understand that the start they got off to, they didn't go to a bowl game. They didn't get over 500. This team won my bottom 10 championship 2 years ago. It was one of the worst teams I've ever seen. And he still won football games and was in a lot of games that they didn't win. What do you think heading into the fall of 2024 will we see when it comes to wins and losses for the Buffaloes?
Well, they're confident that they're going to be a much better team. In fact, Deion essentially guaranteed a bowl trip. Now, bowl trip could be 6-6, and that would be victory enough for a program that, as you mentioned, won exactly one game 2 years ago. I think the fact that they've gone back into the portal, and there's been a lot made about Deion using the portal. You know, last year, he brought in 53 new players from the portal and his recruits. There are only 10 holdovers from the team in 22. A lot was made about that. Well, now a lot of guys that came from the portal went back into the portal, and they're getting another bunch of guys from the portal this time around. And people are wondering, well, what are they doing? They're just having a revolving door. My understanding, based on the folks that I talked to while I was out there, is they're trying to be much more selective about who they're bringing into the program, that maybe some of those portal guys they brought in last year weren't a great fit. And so they realized that as the season progressed. And so if you're going into the portal, as Deion said multiple times, well, there's probably a reason you're going to the portal. Now they're trying to bring in guys who are going to be able to elevate everybody around them. And when you look at Shadur Sanders, their starting quarterback, and Travis Hunter, who's playing both ways, well, who are you going to bring in when you have two guys who have the potential to be top 10 picks in next year's draft so you can find a way to win? When you have talent like that, you have to do whatever you can to win. So they brought in some transfers. We saw one of them, LaJonte Wester, played really good at receiver in the series that we saw him in. They're getting transfers from Ohio State and other places from across the country that they believe can help them. And so when Shadur Sanders says, you know, there's a lot of negativity that's left the program, I believe him when he says that, because he's been involved in trying to bring guys in that he wants to play with so they can win right now.
And meanwhile, his daughter Shaloni, who was taking a nap on the couch when I was there back in the fall, and Deion was talking about how great is this that my daughter and I together, she is in the portal. And Dad ain't very happy about it. So this is the world, you know, that we're living around. We just saw the schedule. They start with North Dakota State at home, which is dangerous. Then they're on the road. They go to Nebraska, to Colorado State, rivalry game, going to Nebraska. I mean, this is not an easy schedule, and we'll see how it goes. But Andrea, it strikes me that, you know, he's a new age coach that is doing this for the first time at this level. To me, it's fascinating to watch how he handles the job, but how he handles the portal. I think there's a case study to be made here one day. We're going to go back and write papers about this.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I feel like he's gotten more grief about his use of the portal than other coaches who use the portal, because this is commonplace right now, right? I mean, look at how Florida State has completely transformed their roster over the last several years. Look at how many players they just had drafted into the NFL. They used the portal and they used it to success. But Colorado used the portal last year to completely revamp a roster that was really bad, and they only won four games. But there are growing pains to be had. You look at rebuilding teams that have used the portal. It takes time sometimes. They were 1-11 the year before he got there. And people wondered why he went to the portal to sign 53 players. As somebody on that staff said to me, we won one game last year. Did you think we were going to bring back all those guys who were part of a one-win team? Well, when you put it like that, it makes sense. All right, well, last year they only won four games. What's the easiest way to upgrade your roster right now? Sure, you want to recruit, and they had several five-star recruits who committed, including one who's going to start at left tackle, but the easiest way to transform a roster is through the portal. And so they're going to continue to use the portal. They're going to continue to use Coach Prime, and all of that comes with being a part of a program where automatically you know you're going to get that type of coverage, that type of exposure. People like us on the SEC Network talking about Colorado now joining the Big 12, as we just saw that schedule. It's a completely different season this year because now it's a new team, but also with a new schedule, having to get used to all these new programs, second year in a row for Deion to make that transition. So I agree with you. The way they've approached it is fascinating, and they've used it more perhaps than other first-year head coaches. And we'll see if they can get to a bowl. I feel like if they can keep Shedeur Sanders healthy and that offensive line doesn't give up 50 sacks the way they did a year ago, and they keep using Travis Hunter both ways, I think they're going to have a chance to make a bowl. I really do.
Yeah, and I really believe there were a couple of injuries away from doing that a year ago, because I think they win some of those games down the stretch.
Yep.
Only got to win six games. And it doesn't matter what the bowl game is. If you just get to one, that's a big win for Deion. Isn't it funny, right, Andrea? Everybody rips Deion for doing that. And meanwhile, we were saying at the top of the show, Alabama has 10 returning players from last year. It means they got a lot of guys in the portal. I don't seem to hear the same ripping going on, but maybe that's just me, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we wrote a whole story about this back in August, so folks can go Google that from ESPN.com.
Yeah, we're all about y'all digging through our archives because we're very proud of it. So, all right.
Yes, please do.
Andrew Adelson, you're the best, and I'll see you next time you're in Charlotte, and I'll see you the next time I'm in Orlando. I promise.
Okay, let's call each other. Great to have you. You're the best.
Here you go, y'all. I'm telling you. No lie. One of my favorite people in the world. Nobody works harder. Nobody writes better. And I love it when I saw that she was going out to Boulder. All right, y'all. I feel like we've been on for a while, but we're still just getting going. You can join us on the Paul Feinbaum Show, 855-242-7285. You've been ripping Deion for getting in the portal?
Woo!
Feel free to call in and tell us.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Stories I get from Randy during the breaks when we're watching the clips on SEC Network. By the way, it's Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul. Much to the chagrin of many, actually two that I know of, Chris and Jim. You talk too much, man. You're hosting the talk show, and you talk too much.
I want to call a talk show.
You can talk on the show, 855-242-PAUL. That's P-A-U-L. Or you can, if you don't want to talk, if you want to obey Jim and Chris's commands and not talk on the talk show, you can hit us up on the Twitter and X at Feinbaum. and on the Instagram at the Feinbaum Show. Hollywood Fred, what's up, son?
Hey there, Brian. How you doing, partner?
I'm good, man. Good to hear your voice.
I don't know how far back your memory goes, but at the end of the football season, I gave you and Marty McGee a call on what the Citrus Bowl used to be called before.
Oh, yeah.
It was the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah, Tangerine Bowl.
Yeah, Tangerine Bowl. And I gave you a little history about the Tangerine Bowl from old Hoptown Fred out of Hopkinsville, better known as Hoptown, Kentucky. And that in that game that Murray State won, there was only six boys from Hoptown that started. So I am 88 years old, and I've got a little story to tell that's probably going to end up be the bestseller. Title of it is Precious Memories, How They Linger. I was born in a farmhouse on the Kentucky State-Tennessee line in 1936. Had to move because of World War II. Our old farms are now what is Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Moved into Hoptown. I got burned on Christmas Day, third-degree burns. Was never supposed to walk again. Found us a good doctor. He patched me up to where I could walk and made the high school senior football team in the ninth grade. And he came out, the doctor that fixed my leg, and said, "Freddie boy, what are you doing, equipment manager?" I said, "No, I'm playing football." He said, "Ain't no way you can play on those legs." Well, I played 4 years, and Coach Paul Bear Bryant came down and wanted to know what was wrong with my legs. And when I showed them to him, he said, "Man, how in the world you play football on those legs?" So I got a few stories to tell about precious memories, how they linger. And I was under the impression Paul had told me he was going to be in Memphis today or in the Memphis area this week. You know anything about that?
No. That's hometown, right? So
right,
yeah, it's hometown.
Right.
So, yeah, it's always fun when we go to Ole Miss and we go to Mississippi State in the fall for Marty McGee and SEC Nation. It's always fun flying into Memphis with Paul because there's always a guy, like a baggage claim, "Hey, Paul, man, you remember that time we did so-and-so back here at junior high school?" All the time.
Yeah, Adolph Rupp spoke at our high school basketball banquet when I was a junior. People said, "You'll never get that man down there." And so he recruited me, and even with the kind of legs that I had, I could still, about 6'1", could get up and dunk a volleyball. And so I even sent a couple of boys his way to play basketball and was going to chat with Paul. He said he was headed this way to Memphis this week, and I thought I might hook up with him and trying to run him down. So I didn't know if he might be able to help me or not.
He didn't ever tell me where he's going. We were talking about that earlier. Randy, did he tell you where he's going? Yeah, he didn't ever tell
us
where he's going.
No, he didn't. He just said he'd be over this way.
Yeah, okay.
So
keep your eye out. You'll know. It's like Tiger Woods at a golf tournament. You'll know where Paul is because all the people following him around, right?
Hey, partner, thanks for dealing with him and taking my call, and I'll run him down somewhere, and I'll give him the number one bestseller that's going to be hitting the market, Precious Memories, How They Linger.
That's a great
Take
title.
Care.
Thank you. Thank you, Fred. Appreciate it.
Thanks, partner. Thank
you. I'll tell you, Hollywood Fred, somebody in Hollywood needs to pay attention. He called into Marty McGee. He's right. He called into Marty McGee, and callers on Marty McGee typically don't talk as long. We let Fred just go. He talked all the way into break because he was telling these stories about Bear Bryant and Adolph Rupp, and we're like, Tangerine Bowl, by the way. My dad played baseball at East Carolina in the early 60s. And I know of the Tangerine Bowl because we would go in the building when I was a kid. Dad would go back to East Carolina for alumni stuff and do trophies from like the 1963, 64, like back-to-back Tangerine Bowl victories for East Carolina back in the day. I want to say they beat like Maine or Massachusetts or somebody. But, yeah, there you go. Go Pirates. I said all that just for juice. Just for producer juice. Beat UMass. See, Juice knew that off the top of his head. Diane in Tennessee's on the line. Diane, welcome in to Paul Feinbaum.
Hey, Ron, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Hey, I've noticed people have been calling in talking about music, and I was just going to tell you a little experience I had. I've had the very fortunate opportunity of meeting and getting to actually have dinner with Dolly Parton a couple of times.
Whoa! The queen!
Yeah, and I know you being from, went to UT, I did too. I'm an ex-Lady Vol from back in the early 80s. I was a swimmer, but after I got grown, I became a corporate sponsor for her foundation because I'd always been a fan. And so we had the opportunity to go to her Tennessee Mountain home where she grew up a couple of times. And I'd just like to say, if you like Dolly, what you see from her on television, you'll absolutely love her in person because she is that and more.
I'm so jealous. That's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, but one thing she did do after the dinner, she started requesting songs. So it was just her, and she had a little bluegrass band that played at Dollywood that she brought with her. And so she sang Rocky Top right there in the front yard of that old home place, and you could hear Rocky Top echoing off those mountains.
That is unbelievable. That's unbelievable, Diane.
Yeah, she's pretty special. Like I say, I mean, I've met her several times over the years, and she's just an amazing person with everything she's done. You know, and that's one reason I wanted to become a sponsor for her foundation, because it does so many wonderful things.
Oh, it's amazing. So last weekend, I was in the mountains in North Carolina with my four old roommates from Tennessee. And one of them, the great Mike Collins, Sevier County, born and bred, still lives there, and he was talking about, you know, his children going to college and his children getting the books and all those things because of all the amazing. Dolly changes lives on a daily basis up there.
Yeah, she sure does. And yeah, I've just been very fortunate. But I just wanted to relate that. And like her home place, it's got the original house and the original barn. Of course, they've added on to the house and put electricity and plumbing in it because she didn't have that growing up. But she's also added a chapel and a schoolhouse and a little general store. And it's her place where she goes to restore herself. She said, I like to come here just to humble myself. And that's just the type of person that she is.
Diane, I thank you for the call. It makes my day. I appreciate it.
All righty. And you're doing a great job, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. That's where she wore her coat of many colors, right? So my wife, Erica McGee, when I met her in college in Tennessee, she sang at Dollywood. That's what her job in the summertime and at Christmas was. And the greatest story my wife tells is in the theater there at Dollywood, my wife was headed out. There's a backstage, there's a dressing room just for Dolly. But she was never there because she was touring the world or wherever else. And one day my wife is coming down the hallway, and this is the 90s. She's got a big head. My wife's 5 foot tall, huge head of hair, perm, the whole deal. And she was headed to stage, and all of a sudden Dolly blew out the door. And they physically ran into each other in the hallway. And Dolly looked at my future wife and said, you have fabulous hair. My wife said that's like winning the Nobel Hair Prize.
That's right.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Like being blessed. That's right. Laying on the hands. Right on the perm. Hey, you got any Dolly Parton stories? Give us a call. Hey, Jim, was that story too long? Chris, was that Dolly Parton story too long? It's the Feinbaum Show. Call us 855-242-PAUL. Don't talk too long, though.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Ryan McGee, much to Jim's chagrin, sitting in for Paul today. You can call us 855-242-PAUL. Man, ever since Hollywood Fred called his book called Precious Memories, Randy and I I just talked about my wife in college, talking about how I met her. Randy's talking about how he met his wife. We're singing Precious Memories, How They Linger. I think every funeral I ever went to, they played that. Squirrel, what's up?
I disregard anything Jim has to say, but you kind of had it coming to you from pandering to him like you did a few weeks ago, so that's kind of amusing in a way. But yeah,
it's my penance. That's my penance for being nice to him. Yeah, okay. I appreciate that. That's a great point.
You went beyond being nice. You kissed his ass, basically, and then turned around and bit the hand. I don't go that far.
I appreciate you.
We'll argue that later. But anyway, he's 79 years old. He was born in February of 1945. If you notice, his Twitter handle is @SapientJim45. That's the year he was born at. That's not like his high school number, because the dude never played high school sports or anything of that nature. Can I ask you a question, though?
Yeah, Squirrel.
Years ago, you and I were discussing Big Ed's in Oak Ridge. Do you recall that conversation?
Absolutely. I was talking about Big Ed's not even 6 days ago.
Paul got real pissy, if you recall, and he said, if it was so great, how come he never heard about it? But I've traveled the country. I rank Big Ed's one or two in my pizza, and I've been in New York, I've been in Chicago, I've been in California, been all over. Where do you put Big Ed's on your top five list, maybe? Does it make your top five list?
Oh, it makes my top five. So New Haven, Connecticut. Every pizza joint is the best pizza joint I've ever been to. So I just put the whole city of New Haven, and then I put Big Ed's right below it. But Paul didn't know about it because Paul was locked up in the Daily Beacon office, and he didn't eat. He didn't eat food.
As a young man, I actually got to know Big Ed. Well, I was exposed to Big Ed. I mean, he ran the joint.
He was a
very unique individual, is all I'll have to say.
Yeah.
And he put the fear of God in any teenager. I promise you that.
Yeah.
But, he took care of the sports teams there at Oak Ridge. He fed us good, and it was really a great experience. I encourage anybody that comes around Oak Ridge to
meet down at Big Ed's.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.